Hello and welcome. You are tuned into another edition of Mountain Song and Story right here on Radio Bristol. I'm your host, Tony Doman, and here on the show each and every week, I find and feature a theme relating to Appalachian culture and folk life, and then play songs and feature stories all about our topic of choice. And I also love to invite guests on the program. And today is one of those days. Today I'll be airing a wonderful conversation with my guest, Kelly Jolly, the Tennessee ukulele lady. Kelly is one of East Tennessee's most celebrated jazz musicians. She's an accomplished music entertainer and educator, and her repertoire includes traditional African-American music of the blues, jazz, spirituals, and folk. She's an educator, a musician. She also has her own radio program called Jazz Jam, and she's the founder of the Women in Jazz Music Festival in Knoxville, Tennessee. Kelly has so much going on. She's a true inspiration, and I am so excited to be speaking with her for today's program. It's going to be a great conversation I'll be bringing your way. And first up, as always on the program, let's get into some fitting music for the show. Here is a musical, one of the musical inspiration of Kelly's, which is Sarah Vaughan. So here now is Sarah Vaughan with Broken Hearted Melody. Sarah Vaughan there with Broken Hearted Melody. We're getting into the jazz spirit here on the show to kick things off. And we're about to get into my conversation with Kelly Jolly here in just a few minutes. Kelly is one of East Tennessee's most celebrated jazz musicians. She's an accomplished music entertainer and educator, and her repertoire includes traditional African-American music of the blues, jazz, spirituals, and folk. She and her husband, saxophonist Will Boyd, were the 2015 MLK Art Award recipients in Knoxville. She's the founder of Uke Sphere of Knoxville, a ukulele group for all ages. She also hosts her own radio program on WUOT 91.9 FM in Knoxville called Jazz Jam with Kelly Jolly. which is an hour-long show that celebrates great local, national, and international singers of jazz. She is also the founder of the Women in Jazz Festival in Knoxville, and she's currently pursuing a Master of Arts in Communication and Storytelling Studies from East Tennessee State University. And she will be joining us here at the Birthplace of Country Music Museum for our speaker series, which is next Tuesday, May 10th, and you can tune in virtually or attend that event in person here at the museum. Also, if you are tuning into a rebroadcast of this episode, you can also find the recording of that program, the virtual speaker series, online at birthplaceofcountrymusic.org. Okay, folks, so we're going to go ahead and jump on into our conversation with Kelly, which was recorded back just a few months ago. And we're going to jump on into that now. So joining me now is Kelly Jolly. Kelly is a ukulele playing jazz singer and media personality from Knoxville, Tennessee. She is also known as the Tennessee Ukulele Lady. She was the 2011 Mountain Soul Vocal Competition winner, the 2013 Community Shares Artist of the Year, and the 2015 MLK Art Award recipient. And she does so many other amazing things. Kelly, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today here on Mountain Song and Story. Welcome.
You're welcome. Who is that, Kelly Jolly?
Oh, did I say your name wrong?
No, you said it right. It's Kelly. My full name is Kaletria, but I go by Kelly.
Oh, so, I love the spelling of it too. Like K-E-L-L-E. I love that. It's very unique.
Kelly with a E, Jolly with a Y.
I love it. So let's start by telling our listeners a little bit more about who you are. You are into so many different things musically. Let's start with the Tennessee Ukulele Lady title. Tell us about that. How did you get that? How did you get into playing ukulele? What is the story here?
Well, like many people here in Appalachia, in Tennessee, I wanted to play guitar. So I started with guitar while I was living in Chattanooga. I took guitar lessons and it did not come easy for me. And also it wasn't comfortable for me, but I still worked at it. And then once I moved to Knoxville, I resumed guitar lessons and I started taking lessons with Buddy D and Happy Holler in North Knoxville. And I was determined to develop quickly because I'm impatient about learning. Like I want it fast. I want to be good. I'm intense. So I like to take go into everything like head first, you know? So I was taking lessons every day. I wanted to get fast. Yeah, I wanted to get fast quickly. So I was taking lessons every day. And Buddy D is a great, great instructor. So I was learning, but it still wasn't comfortable. And then I noticed that he had a 3/4 size bass, which is nice, like nice size bass for somebody my size. And so then I added bass learning to my guitar lessons and I started playing bass. And I really liked the size of the bass. And I like the 4 strings better than the 6 strings. And so I started playing bass, but I needed something even smaller. And at that time, ukulele was getting popular. So the trend was picking up and I went downtown on Gay Street to Morlock's Music, because my friend Matt Morlock had a store downtown. He, at the time, was one of the people working at WDBX radio, and he also had a music store. So he had a ukulele, a little green one with a dolphin on the bridge, and I bought it for about $30, and that was my first ukulele. And when I bought my ukulele, I started teaching myself by watching YouTube videos, like probably everybody. And then once I got good at it, I started playing out, and 10 of my, about 10 people I knew, 10 of my friends all went and bought ukuleles. And they said, well, Kelly, you're the music teacher, because my degree is in music education, so I'm used to teaching people. So they say, well, Kelly, you're the music teacher, so you have to teach us. And so we went looking for a place to gather. And at the time I was living in North Knoxville, and Dan and Peggy over at Time Warp Tea Room in North Knoxville allowed us to gather amongst the coffee and motorcycles in the Time Warp Tea Room. And we started having ukulele get-togethers where I would teach a little bit and then we'd jam a little bit and everybody would bring songs. And that was the beginning of my ukulele club called Ukusphere. So the name is a combination of two words, ukulele and sun sphere. So ukulele plus sun sphere makes Ukusphere. And Ukusphere has been an all ages ukulele jam for over 10 years, about 12 years now.
Wow. Yeah. And so what kind of events do you do now with that? So it's like definitely an education focus. Like it seems like it's all ages.
It's all ages, but mostly adults. It's all ages because we do, we welcome everybody. And if there's some young people who want to play with us, they definitely come, but it's mostly adults. And we just play popular music. It's not formal ukulele class. It's more like, hey, Kelly, I heard this song I want to play. Can you teach me the chord that I need to play on the chorus? So it's more of a relaxed jam environment where everybody brings music and we sit in a circle and jam. And then in the last couple of years, we were meeting at Lane's Music in Knoxville. So I've been playing ukulele. I love playing it. I love playing the music, traditional African-American music. So I play jazz and blues and spirituals and gospel, because those are the types of music I grew up with, and folk music. Those are the types of music I grew up with. And also that's the type of music that I get called to play now. So I play in church. You'll see me play, marching down the MLK, in the MLK parade in January with my ukulele. You might see me at the Knoxville Museum of Art entertaining children for Family Day, or playing in Oak Ridge to raise money for the symphony on ukulele. So I've done all kinds of events as Kelly Jolly, the Tennessee Ukulele Lady. And that came about because I had to facilitate a workshop and perform at an ukulele festival, and I needed to update my bio. Sometimes, you know, like how you just introduce me and you think like, I did that? Was that me? Me? I played that? I did. You don't think about those things, you know, as you do them or as you acquire them. You're just living. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm playing, but I'm just living. And so life just happens. And because this is what we do, sometimes we have to write about it in the bios and share with people so they know who we are. But sometimes you forget who you are. And so I just thought about, like, who am I? Who am I? I'm a ukulele lady, and I live in Tennessee. It's not even to say that I'm on some kind of hierarchy, putting myself on a hierarchy of playing. It's just like, this is who I am. If I had to walk somewhere, walk in a place and tell you who I am, I'm a ukulele playing lady from Tennessee. Right? Yeah, you know, yeah. So I was doing a show called Wood Songs. And they introduced me. I think that was the first time somebody introduced me as the Tennessee Ukulele Lady. And they asked me, well, how did you come up with that? And I'll say this, repeat the same thing I told them. Whatever you want to be or do in life, or whatever you want to be, tell people who you are, and then you make them believe it.
Yeah, that's some great advice. I know a lot of musicians may suffer from like imposter syndrome, you know, and it's like everything you're saying is so motivating because you're out there living it, you're doing it. If you want to be this, project it, it seems. Yeah, absolutely.
Be it and then become it. And then it gives you something to like a frame. I don't know. I'm using a lot of academic terms. You know why? Because I'm in school right now. So like after I talk to you, I have class and it's theory class. So like that stuff is in my head and that's what happens. You know, that's the reason why I went back to school so I can ignite some brain cells and, you know, be inspired myself. But yeah, to the Tennessee ukulele lady, it was something that just like popped up into my imagination and it just helped guide me and move me forward in kind of branding myself and opening doors for me.
Absolutely. Well, I love the name. It tells the audience exactly what they're going to expect, it seems. So I love that so much. And it's a really fun name too. So you're also really into jazz, of course. You know, you have a radio show and you also read in your bio here, you're one of the founding members of the Women in Jazz Festival. I was hoping you could tell us a little bit more about that. What is it? How did it come to be?
Okay. I call myself the Afro-Latchian Georgia Line of Peach because I feel very Southern. And there are many places that I've called home. I was born in Hampton, South Carolina in the Low Country. And I grew up in Columbia. Well, I lived in Columbia, South Carolina until I was 6. Then we moved to Atlanta. So I went to elementary school and high school in Decatur, Georgia. After that, I went back to South Carolina for college. My degree is in music education. I graduated from South Carolina State University in Orangeburg, South Carolina. And then after college, I moved to Tennessee. So I am the Afro-Latchian Georgia Line of Peach, just like James Brown. Georgia Peach. So then after moving to Knoxville, I continued to play jazz. I had been playing jazz ever since I was about 15. When I was a teenager, I didn't want to be sing like Whitney Houston or Mariah Carey. I wanted to sing like Ella Fitzgerald and Sarah Vaughan. And so I started singing jazz in high school. I sang jazz in college. And after college, I sang with various bands. I even sang with the Mailman Show Band in Chattanooga, Tennessee. So I've always sang and I've always had my own band. But after moving to Knoxville and getting married to my husband, Will Boyd, he's a jazz saxophonist. I started the Women in Jazz Jam Festival. Now, the reason why I started the Women in Jazz Jam Festival, I was motivated to do it because I saw where women sometimes miss out on opportunities because they don't have the relationships, or women do not participate in jazz bands or jazz organizations because they don't have those relationships, or they don't have the confidence to play jazz, or they're intimidated to play jazz. And because I am a wife of a jazz musician and I've spent most of my life being the only woman in a band, I felt like that was a big issue. Like there needs to be a platform for women to build relationships so women and girls can feel like they have the right to play jazz. You have the right to play jazz just as anyone, you know, just as much right as anyone else. So in it's been some time, but at the beginning, I can't pinpoint the year now. I need a calendar. But at that time, the mayor of Knoxville, the county mayor, would not sign a proclamation making it Women's Day, to recognize women for Women's Day in Knoxville. And that just like set me off because I thought to myself, even groundhogs have a day. You can't take one day and support women, one day to symbolically say, hey, women, we appreciate you. So I thought I have to do something to support women and not just and specifically to help women like me. Like I can only represent myself and my voice and my my interests. So in serving in those roles in the community, how can I help women? And I thought, I'm going to help women perform jazz and bring more women into jazz. So I started the festival. And because I started the festival to help connect women with other women musicians, with other women musicians, and to create a platform, a pipeline to success for women and girls. And when I put that idea out there, it just started off as a Facebook post. I said, hey, we should start a jazz festival for women. And then a county commissioner, was Amy Broyles, she said, Kelly, I saw your Facebook post. I want to support you. She supported me. And then people started sending money and people started supporting me. And next thing you know, I was hiring musicians and booking venues. And I was sending, getting flyers made, and I was getting t-shirts printed and finding women fiscal agents and finding women, just all kinds of women to work with to make this festival happen. Because I tried to, with the festival and planning the festival, I try to only deal with women as far as I can, mm-hmm. until I have to ask a man for something. And it, I mean, it happens like that sometimes. So like, even with booking the local, regional and national acts that I book for the festival, sometimes I end up booking a man. It's okay. Mm-hmm. But if there's a man there, he knows that he answers to a woman. Like, as long as you're doing something for the festival, you cannot make a decision. You have to refer always to a woman. The festival is woman centered, and I don't make any apologies for that.
Yeah, that is fantastic. And I love that story. Oh my gosh. I do have to share with you, at the Birthplace of Country Music later this year, we're working on an exhibit called Women in Old Time Music. And it's an exhibit featuring, the untold stories of women in a really male dominated genre. And it's so transferable. It's not just a lot of the concepts we're featuring are not just in old time music, right? You know, they're in all these other genres. So it definitely seems like we need to talk more about that away from this interview.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I even in my own shows, in my repertoire, I try to acknowledge and recognize women, because the motto of the Women in Jazz Jam Festival is "Don't leave the women behind."
I love that.
So Leola Manning, who was a preacher, a songwriter from Knoxville, who was a contemporary of Howard Armstrong, I always add her music to my set. I sing the music of Ida Cox, who ended her at the end of her life. She was living in Knoxville. I use her music, and also I facilitate a workshop on writing the blues that's based on songs written by like Bessie Smith and Leola Manning.
Oh, that is fantastic. Oh yeah. So speaking along these same lines about people being left out of the story, you know, in Appalachia, it's a region that people sometimes forget that it's a really historically diverse place and area, and a lot of it can be whitewashed a lot of the time. And I was wondering what your take on why is it so important to highlight so many diverse voices and sounds, especially that of jazz and blues genre that you're involved in, especially here in Appalachia. Why is it so important to have these outlets where we're highlighting these diverse voices?
A couple of weeks ago, we had a guest artist here at East Tennessee State University, where I'm in graduate school studying communication and storytelling studies. We had a guest storyteller. Her name is Charlotte Blake Alston. And Charlotte tells difficult stories. And she said something that I really could relate to. An audience member asked her, why does she tell these difficult stories? Like, why does she tell the stories of the Black Blacks who are left out of the story of World War II? And she said, we have to bear witness to these things. You know, like, people had to live these experiences, which were tough. All we have to do now is acknowledge them and honor them. So I think it's very important to try to give people a clearer description, a more truthful sense of what life was like, how people express themselves, because those stories can inspire others, and those stories can encourage dialogue and increase understanding between people. You know, so you could be inspired by music. Sometimes you go back and hear something, you know, you hear those, pull out some of those old records or hear something on YouTube that you never heard before, and it inspires you to go write something. Or it might inspire you to go and do some more research, or to, you know, go to college and write a thesis on it. And you know, so it's important to go back and try to get a clear sense of what was going on. You know, when storytellers are working on their stories and developing their stories, they're thinking about the descriptions of the behaviors and the activities and the things that the characters sensed that they can express in the story, so that you can go back in time with them. It's a way for us to time travel, you know, go back and be able to relate to someone's experience through that song and through that story. So it's very important that we do that now, because it's an acknowledgement of our ancestors. It's respectful to our ancestors, and also it may inspire the future generations to take things in a better direction.
So you also just mentioned the ETSU storytelling program, and that's a graduate program that you're in right now. Can you expand a little bit about that? I know, you know, as part of this program here on Radio Bristol, I would love to feature storytellers, and storytelling is a really big aspect of this program. And I'm just wondering, what's your involvement in it, and how has taking like an educational route, how has that helped you in like crafting being a storyteller and a performer?
Before you sing a song, you introduce a song. And people want to know why you're singing it. How'd you learn it? Where'd it come from? You know, what are you going to do differently with it? So every time you sing a song comes with a story. And I've really experienced that in live performance, how stories are connected to songs. I even have childhood memories of storytelling. So my parents always told stories, and they sang songs that were stories. And so I grew up with that in my head. And also as a young child, I was influenced by the Georgia Sea Island Singers, who performed at my school when I was in kindergarten, and it just stuck in my head. And I also grew up listening to Ella Jenkins, who was a legendary folklorist and music educator and ukulele player. And so I grew up influenced by those experiences. And I know how important stories are to connecting people to your songs and your music. And so I decided to come back to graduate school at this time to study storytelling along with communications. And it's for me, it's been a good way for me to reevaluate my approach to performing and to learn how to effectively communicate my ideas to the audience, through my storytelling, but through my introductions, my talk in between songs. It helps me make sense of my shows, and it's helping me write my story, because I've lived, Tony. I've lived a life, you know. I'm a couple of decades old, and I've lived, and I have a story. And so learning how to tell my own story and use the music to bridge those years together has been very helpful. So I'm learning how to do that here at East Tennessee State University, along with just having a good time hearing all the good storytellers. Because when you're in a department where people are performing, not only do you have to work on your skills, but you get the benefit of being audience members for all your talented cohorts and classmates.
Yeah, and this entire region is so full, like the Appalachian region, especially right here around Bristol with the International Storytelling Center being in Jonesboro. I mean, right next to ETSU. I mean, it's a really, really creative place with so many storytellers just right here all the time. So yeah.
Yeah, I love it. So I'm always traveling and looking for bookstores and going in, especially used bookstores, and looking for storytelling collections and different books, storytelling books. And whenever I'm checking out, I always slide my book to the cashier, and they look down at the book, then they look up at me, and they ask, "Are you one of those storytellers?" I feel like I'm some kind of like imaginary, like fairy, like they probably tell the first, "Yes, what I saw today, a storyteller, a real live storyteller in the store today. Yes, did she have wings? No."
You definitely have wings. You've got them. Yeah, you totally do.
Oh, I'm still looking for my pot of gold, Tony.
It's too darn hot. It's too darn hot. I'd like to sup with my baby tonight. Refill the cup with my baby tonight. I'd like to sup with my baby tonight. Refill the cup with my baby tonight. But I ain't up to my baby tonight, 'cause it's too darn hot. Too darn hot. It's too darn hot. I'd like to coo with my baby tonight and pitch the woo with my baby tonight. I'd like to coo with my baby tonight and pitch the woo with my baby tonight. But brother, you fight my baby tonight, 'cause it's too darn hot. Kinsey report, every average man you know much prefers his lovey-dovey to court when the temperature is low. But when the thermometer goes way up and the weather is sizzling hot, Mr. Pants for romance is not, 'cause it's too, too, too darn hot. Baby tonight and pitch the woo with my baby tonight. I like to coo with my baby tonight and pitch the woo with my baby tonight. But brother, you fight my baby tonight, 'cause it's too darn hot. According to the Kinsey report, every average man you know much prefers his lovey-dovey to court is low. But when the thermometer goes way up and the weather is sizzling hot, Mr. Gob for his squad, a Marine for his queen, a GI for his cutie pie is not, 'cause it's too, too, too darn.
All right, folks, if you are just tuning in, you are listening to Mountain Song and Story right here on Radio Bristol. I'm your host, Tony Doman, and today I am talking with Kelly Jolly, the Tennessee ukulele lady, all about some wonderful, wonderful things. And we also just heard Ella Fitzgerald's Too Darn Hot. We're talking about jazz and so much more here on the program. We're going to jump back on into this interview with Kelly. Let's do it.
So you also have a radio program called Jazz Jam, and it celebrates the great classic and contemporary voices of jazz. Mm-hmm. So you have everything from recordings, live performances, and interviews with artists on the jazz scene, broadcasting from Knoxville. So tell me a little bit more about your jazz program. That was one of the things that I found out whenever I've discovered you on the internet, was that you had a jazz program. So tell us a little bit more about that. How did it come to creation? How did it come from an idea to an actual thing?
Well, Todd Steed at WUOT, who hosts Improvisations, and he is over all of the jazz programs, he invited me to come to the station to talk with him and the director of the station, Greg. And they told me that they had an opening in their schedule and they had an idea to start a new show. But they really didn't have the idea for the show, but they knew they wanted me to host it. So they sent me home with homework after offering me that block of time, and I had to come up with an idea for a show. And whenever I have to do something or create something, I try to be as honest with myself as I can. You know, like, I have to be honest to my own interests. Like, what do I want to work on that, like, helps me? What am I interested in? What do I want to share? What am I passionate about? And I am very passionate about women and singers. And so I didn't want to just limit it to women, but singers. Because in the jazz world, you find singers, and of course, the public and the audience loves the singers. But we don't necessarily get as much respect in immediate, like, initial respect as maybe saxophone players get. saxophone players, or, you know, piano players, or just the instrumentalists. So I wanted to give my hour over to playing only vocal jazz. So as of today, my show has never played an instrumental tune. I've never played an instrumental tune on my show. It has to have some kind of singing, humming, something going on with vocal cords for me to play it on my show. So it's all vocal jazz. I play a lot of artists that are artists that have inspired me, but I also play up and coming. And I play artists that I run into when I'm hanging out at a jazz event, or artists that I've met at a festival. If they hand me their CD, I'm going to play it. Because the one thing I think that we do, one way that we limit ourselves, or we limit limit opportunities, is that we think that everybody should be at their best when you hear them, or that everybody should, that I'll only play the best. But the best, I mean, the most popular might not be the most inspiring. And also, there's some people who haven't had the exposure or the resources who might be playing playing something outstanding, but you don't know because they're not connected to resources or have the relationships to be able to promote themselves the way they should. So I don't try to put limits on the music that I play. If you can be a college student with a jazz CD out, I will play it. You can be an international Grammy award winning star and I'll play your music side by side. And I think that's what we need to like level the playing field for everyone, and the exposure is we have to take away those boundaries that people have that are based on connection to resources. So I just try to promote everybody, and I don't care where you are. I mean, I'm not going to play anything that I can't listen to. Yeah. You know, I'm not going to play anything I can't take, but yeah. But, you know, I have some I show some discretion, yeah. But I don't throw people's CDs aside just because I don't know who they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. I love that philosophy. It's not one that everyone takes, especially people who are in charge of picking songs and promoting them. You know, it's often the music industry can be very, I don't know the right word to use, but you know,
yeah,
one-sided for
yeah. And then the thing about a lot of women, a lot of times women don't even try to compete or don't promote themselves because they assume that everybody else is better than them or smarter than them, and they're not, and they aren't, and it doesn't matter if they are. It doesn't take away your right to have that opportunity, and it shouldn't take away your joy, enjoyment, or your expression, or your voice. You don't have to silence your voice just because other people's voices already have attention or maybe louder, you know. So we can't discredit ourselves. I say this too, you don't have to be the best, you know, like we need to stop saying we need to send our best and our best. You don't have to be the best. You're enough being you. And I think any way that I can show people that, any platform I have to show people that, that's what I want to do. You're all right and you're enough just being you.
Well, you're inspiring me right now.
Oh, I've read up on you, Tony. You've done a lot too.
Well, you are very inspiring. This is a great conversation. Like, I want to get off of here and go practice right now. Like, I'm ready. I'm like,
I got my ukulele. We can jam right now.
So, talking a little bit about challenges that women face, since we're talking about that still. Why do you think that women have a more difficult time in the music industry, especially in jazz? What are the challenges, and how do they differentiate from maybe male challenges? Why is it so hard for women to kind of succeed? We're like, what are those barriers? And what's your thoughts on that?
Well, I feel like I have experienced I've had some success at things. You know, I've been successful at building relationships. I haven't been successful with building relationships with money, but I've been successful at building relationships with people. but I also have a unique perspective because I've been doing this since I was a teenager. And the one thing that I noticed, and the thing that's the difference between men and other people who would like to be in jazz, is that they are connected to a pipeline. So a young man who's studying from a man may sub for that man in his band. So that means that young man is going to be put in a position where he is being trusted by another man to replace him. Already it's in his mind, like, I'm a young man, I'm going to replace this man someday. So then he builds their relationship with that man. So maybe that young man plays in somebody's band with a whole bunch of other men. So now they know that they can call on him. So he now has a connection to that band of men, that group of men and that band of men. Then that boy, maybe that man, that young man goes to college and now he's in school. His professors are men because that's who's had the positions mostly. So now he's connecting with more people who have more connections, people that he can replace and people he can relate to and see himself replacing. I see this man. I'm like this man. He's invested in me. I can take his place one day. And it just keeps like repeating over and over and over, generation. Men and roommate with men, they build relationships, they start bands, those bands, relationship with other men who have bands. I don't think that it's always a conscious effort to not include women. I think it's just based on the ease of connection. You know, like, all right, who can I call on? Oh, my old roommate, this guy I used to roommate with. Oh, he plays. I'll call him. Oh, I know my old professor's mentor was so-and-so. I can see if they're hiring. You know, it's like the connection just keeps getting reinforced and mm-hmm. transferred from a generation to another generation in those relationships. And every once in a while, you have one woman in a band. Maybe she plays piano. Maybe she sings. But how connected is she to creating opportunities for everybody to work? You know, that's a major factor in it. Is this woman, what role does this woman have in connecting us to opportunities? And so, okay, well, we got this gig, but they'll only hire us if we have a girl singing. Okay, well, we'll find a girl. She'll sing. And then when we're done with her, we could go get another girl. Maybe we don't like her anymore. We don't like the way she did something. Or maybe she got an attitude with the drummer because he was changing the tempo. Well, we'll get another girl. But we're all still cool, so we'll stay with each other. We're fine. But we can always get another girl. And so what I realized with Women in Jazz Jam Festival is that there are a lot of us here, you know, in the community of jazz. But we never play with each other because we're always in situations where it's one of us. And so we never had an opportunity to play as a group. So with the Women in Jazz Jam Festival, the first day is the day when the collective plays. And every year I put together a collective band, 15 to 20 people, all 15 to 20 women. And so but 15 to 20 women who all have some kind of connection with jazz, whether they play every week of the year like I do, or people who never sing. And they only sing in the shower. And this is the one time of the year they sing. They get to sing with us. And no matter how much interaction you have or education you have or exposure you have, we welcome everybody. And we put together a show where everybody feels comfortable. We only ask people to do what they feel comfortable doing. And we have fun. And people feel that success. And they also get to feel the love from the community that comes out and supports us every year. That's important. So women need opportunities to build relationships, and it might not look the same way as it looks for men. It might look differently. Like the Jazz Festival is an environment I created mm-hmm. to allow those relationships to happen. It was, I don't, you know, it's not something that they experience on a regular basis. It's something that has to be created for them to do. So we have to be intentional, and we have to be intentional about creating these pipelines of opportunities. And it's okay if every once in a while we interject into men's pipeline of work or life or jazz activity, but we need to learn how to depend and look for each other. You know, like after the festival, women who participated in the Women in Jazz Jam Festival started hiring each other. We started playing gigs together where it was just us. Why? Because now we have like a set, we have a common repertoire that all of us are familiar with, arrangements we all know because we've done shows together over the years. And so we can rely and depend on each other because of those experiences. A lot of times that's what it is too. It's like you call on the people who you can depend on to have something in common with you.
Yeah, man, so well put. I love all of that. Like, you're very inspiring, Kelly. You really are. So we're running out of time, so just a few more quick questions. Do you have any advice for anyone who's, whether that's a woman or just any person that's pursuing like a creative endeavor, especially more focused on music? I know a lot of the time for creative individuals, it can be difficult to balance like a passion with what you really like with, you know, being able to support yourself and trying to find that middle ground. For some people, you almost have to go all in. Other people can kind of do it part-time. What's kind of your advice for that? Balancing a creative passion with being able to, you know, feed yourself.
Don't waste time figuring out who you are. Taking opportunities shows you what you can do. It shows you what you're interested in. It shows you what you don't like. So don't think that anything is a waste of time, because it all is shaping and molding and sharpening you. and you can take the time to reflect on your feelings. So be aware of like how things make you feel, and how you want to respond to it. You know, all of that is finding out who you are and being true to who you are, how you feel, what you think, and what you believe in.
Yeah. All right, Kelly. Well, like I said, we're about out of time. So where can folks go to find more about what you are doing? If you have any upcoming events, where can they go to find out more? Where would they go?
The best thing to do is follow me on Facebook. I do have a website. It's kellyjolly.com. I'm going to be honest. My website needs updating. I just had new headshots. Those are the things that, you know, that get us bogged down. But kellyjolly.com, if you need to find my contact, you can find me Jazz Jam with Kelly Jolly on WULT.org. I'm on Instagram as Kelly Jolly, Kelly with an E, Jolly with a Y, on Instagram, and Tennessee Ukulele Lady also. So all of my programs and all of my titles have Instagrams and Facebook pages, and people can find me there. Or if you want to call me, I have a number, 865-622-7174. I don't know if y'all can give out phone numbers, but anyway, you could do that, or you can email me at jazzjamwithkj@gmail.com.
Wonderful. Well, Kelly, thank you again so much for taking the time to talk with me here today on the program. This has been a really, really fun conversation. Very inspiring conversation. Like I said, like I'm ready to go practice. So.
Well, I appreciate you having me on.
All right, that was the end of our conversation there with Kelly Jolly, the Tennessee ukulele lady. All right, folks, thank you so much for tuning in. Remember, you can catch this show, Mountain Song and Story, every Thursday at 4 o'clock right here each and every week on Radio Bristol. You can also check out past shows if you visit the Mountain Song and Story program blog page, which is found over at listenradiobristol.org. As always, I'll have today's playlists, materials from today's show up there, so you can go learn more about what Kelly Jolly is up to, and you can find out all of that information if you visit the blog page or any of those places that she just mentioned, like her website. Okay, folks, so once again, special thanks to Kelly Jolly for taking the time to speak with me for today's program. It was so much fun and so inspiring to get to talk to you today, so thank you. And remember, the virtual speaker series featuring Kelly Jolly is coming up next Tuesday, May 10th, here at the Birthplace of Country Music Museum. So please come on out for that. You can catch it in person here at the museum, or you can stream it online. Thank you so much for tuning in, folks. I will catch you right here next week. I've got one more song I'm going to leave you with today, Stormy Weather by Etta James.
There's no sun up in the sky, stormy weather. Since my man and I ain't together. Keeps raining all of the time. Oh yeah, life is bare. Gloom and misery everywhere. Stormy weather, stormy weather. And I just can't get my poor self together. The time, so weary all of the time. When he went away, the blues walked in and met me. one. Everything I have is gone. Stormy weather, stormy weather. Since my man and I, me and my daddy ain't together. Keeps raining all of the time. Oh, oh, keeps raining all of the time. Oh, yeah, 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 raining all of the time. Stormy, stormy.
Mountain Song and Story takes you beyond the lyrics of our Appalachian sound and tells the tales and folklore of the people who make up the rich cultural tapestry of Central Appalachia, showcasing influential artisans and traditions through in-depth interviews, music, and storytelling. Mountain Song and Story aims to promote our arts and culture for a greater understanding of the region. Join me, your host, Tony Doman, on Thursdays at 4 for Mountain Song and Story, right here on Radio Gristle.